5 hours is going to take 30 minutes, so. You often wonder when you stand up, oh, do I have the right word? Because there are several words always buzzing around in those that have the privilege to speak. And John, bless him, prayed. He is moving in the Holy Spirit because he mentioned two things. He mentioned presence and he mentioned power. I've got a third P I want to add, and that is purpose. Presence, power, and purpose. You see, the power has got to be measured in the purpose. Everything has a measure. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Jesus laid it out. And that is a measure for you and me in our own personal lives. It's a measure for our lives in church. And it's a measure for our lives in the community and in the region. So that's purpose. I'm going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture which covers really what I want to share, and that is Acts chapter 2. If you can pop that up, Jez, for me, please. Now, I'm not reading for the NIV, which is the nearly infallible version. I'm reading from the NASB, which is the infallible version of the Bible. So says he. I got myself an authorized version for a Christmas present. The good thing is, it has actually slowed me down because I've got to read the words more carefully. So I've got to look more closely at actually what I'm reading instead of looking at this great expanse of Scripture that we often look at. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Well, that's a very good start, because most of the church is not together in one place, sadly. But this is why God poured out his Spirit. They were all together in one place, in one accord. Now here comes the presence and the power, if you like. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I don't think many of us can imagine actually what that illustrates, the blowing of a violent wind. It wasn't an actual wind. It was the blowing, something like the blowing of a violent wind. Anyone like us who's been on the Shetland Islands looking after a church and been in 140-mile-an-hour gales, which we have, fastest speed on Shetland ever recorded was 212 mile an hour, know something about the blowing of a violent wind. Fortunately, and to our privilege, Chris and myself have actually heard this on tape. Not this actual incident 2,000 years ago, but there was an Inuit community in Northern America praying for revival. And on the last day of their prayers, they prayed for a week, the sound of a mighty rushing wind came. It is enormous when it comes. Most of them either, well, two things. They ran from the building or they fell on their knees. It was as simple as that. Two reactions to the sound of this mighty wind blowing was they fell on their knees before God or they ran from his presence. We've got to be careful in two ways. One is there are unmissable moments of God, moments you cannot miss. No one could miss this unless they were stupid. You can't miss the sound of a mighty rushing wind. What you can miss is the complete opposite. The still, small voice of God. both are real, both are true, both are necessary, because they train our senses to the Holy Spirit. And we can so miss, in the busyness of life, in circumstances, as John was saying, and in so many other ways, we can miss the stillness of that voice that speaks almost in a whisper. It was something, you know, something like our Christmas morning meeting, which, as John Butt said, who was leading on keyboard, said it was a cracker, in a pun, which it was a cracker. Because the Holy Spirit came, not everybody picked this up, I know Colin picked it up, and breathed right down the center of aisle. He breathed his spirit down the center aisle, and several people picked up that breeze of the Holy Spirit just blowing. Hilary sang one of her beautiful prophetic songs of heaven coming to earth. Jane was on the sax. And I think that everybody who could be, not everybody could, Joyce couldn't, for instance, were on their knees before God that morning. A traditional, ordinary time became extraordinary because we have an extraordinary God. The breeze blowing, which you could have easily missed. Now this one, if you were with me and Eric, there were no way you'd miss this one. We were in the minster, we've been praying in the minster for the last year. And sometimes you think, is God really with us? You know, we are praying away, we're looking for change, because there's something significant about the minster. It was the place where St. John performed all his wonderful miracles. And God, how we need that well once again redug. And we are redigging that well as much as we can. Well, this morning, Eric and me were at prayer as usual in the minster. And then suddenly there came what I can only describe is an extraordinary sound. I mean, if you hit the lowest note on the organ, it couldn't reach the note that we heard. It was so deep, but it was so loud at the same time. And it went something like that, Eric, didn't it? Our reaction, funnily enough, we both simultaneously burst out laughing. And our laughter just rang around the place. We laughed and laughed and laughed, because it was so absolutely out of this worldly. It was so extraordinary. But I think what God was saying was, I've heard you guys. Don't worry. This is how you will know I've heard you. And believe you me, I mean, I've been a musician, and Eric has been a musician. So we know musical notes enough to know that that note was impossible in the natural. It was just God turning up. And really, we do need to see God turning up in our everyday life, in our everyday circumstances. Chris and myself, I'm talking about the presence of God. And we carry the presence of God. We have that privilege of carrying God wherever we go. You know, we're the environment changers. We're the atmosphere changers. We're the culture changers, because we carry the presence of God with us. And again, Chris and myself were just in Currys making a purchase, and we were talking to the one of the assistants there, a guy called Mark, who at the end said, well, just come with me and I'll buck this thing through for you. And then he began to share the debilitating illness that he has. And it's developed over 12 months. And he was in deep trouble, because he was a fit man before that, but this thing has just struck him. And he shared it. I mean, the place was pretty full, as he was just working out on the till what we needed to pay. The presence of God was with Chris and myself, to the extent that he recognized, he wouldn't have shared that, I believe, with nobody else. But we have the privilege of just listening to his story for a moment. I reached out my hand and said, "The Lord heal you, Mark." And Chris said, "We've seen miracles, Mark," to give him some hope. "And we'll pop back into Carries to see how he is." But this is who we are. We carry the presence of God with us wherever we go, whatever we're doing, whoever we are. And every meeting I go to where I'm looking for presence, I'm looking to see that God is in this place. If he's not, I'll probably be out the door. You know, there's no point in staying. God's not there, what's the point? And often, you know, so many churches sadly miss this wonderful privilege of hosting the presence of God. And you know, our thing is called pursuing his presence, our prayer times. And it's something that never ends. You know, it doesn't have a finish to it. You know, if you think when you get to heaven, it finishes, no, it just gets more intense. The presence of God. Because the reason is that God is a continuum. He doesn't stop and start anyway. He just continues. And the most important thing for you and me is not our destination, wherever you think that might be, but it's our journey with him. Our journey into more of God's power, more of God's presence, more of God's blessing, more of God's grace, more of God's love, more of God's mercy on our lives. So we're, you know, our destiny, you know, there's a lot of talk about destiny these days and dreams. Well, I'm one for dreaming. I dream significantly with God. But our destiny lies in a person. Most of you will think at that moment of time, I guess. I could be wrong. That our destiny is actually Jesus. Well, it's not, it's the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone that comes to the Father comes through me." And it's something else that's missing, sadly, in the church. Our relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, full of grace and full of mercy, full of love towards us, his kids. And it's one thing that I believe in the next move of God, which is here, the importance of recognizing Father God will take a higher priority than it has. And fathers in the faith will take a high priority. You know, I haven't got my glasses on, have I, silly boy? Never mind, I'll... Don't worry, Chris. Exodus 33 is a classic, which I'll just... It's all right, I'll just refer to it. Exodus 33, talking about the presence of God. And it's Moses leading the children of Israel as he was. And God said, "Go up from this place, Exodus, and I will send an angel with you." Little later on. And we can argue with God. This is a wonderful thing. You know, God changed his mind, really, because he said, "You're a stiff-necked bunch. In other words, you're a rebellious lot, and I'm not coming with you." A little later on, Moses turns to God and he said, "We're going up to this place, but I don't know who you're going to send with us." God had told him an angel was going to go. And Moses still said, "Excuse me, I don't know who's coming." And then he says, God says, "My presence will go with you." Moses says, "Unless your presence goes with us, then we ain't moving from here." Moses recognized the importance of presence. he wasn't going to go without knowing that God, in a manifest way, was with him and with the children of Israel. So we should be the same. You know, I've gone into situations where I've thought, whoa, hold it a minute, because you just sense a damping down. You've got that sensitivity that, hey, Lord, your manifest presence isn't with me in this, coming into this place with me. It's like the guy that had great success in one town in healing, hundreds of people healed. He went to the next town, thought, I'll do the same thing. He got up, got all the people lined up, and God turned up to him and said, oh, am I in this? And he said, I never asked, I just assumed. God said, what are you going to do about it? He turned around to all the people and said, sit down. I've made a mistake. Now that's guts in a big gathering to say, I got it wrong. And there are times that I've almost stepped into situations where I think, I've got it wrong because I'm not sensing that your presence is flowing with me here, God. Okay. Quarter of an hour gone or so. The second P is power. And this is so apparent from Acts 2. Again, the presence of God and the power of God. The scripture says this, that out of your innermost being will flow rivers. The New American has got it right. I'm afraid the NIV has got it wrong. It refers to streams, which is nonsense. If I just thought a stream flowed out of me, I'd probably give up. Rivers of living water. Now, imagine that your river, joined to the person next to you, joined to the person next to you. If we look at all these people in this room where rivers of living water are flowing out of each one of us, we need to understand the powerhouse that we really are. We have God's river flowing out from you and me. And in a corporate sense, it's like faith. My faith gets added to somebody else's faith and somebody else's faith, and so it goes on. But here, the power is like a mighty river flowing out into the land out there. We carry that measure of power. Do you know, we are absolutely unique. We are the only two, if you know the Lord and love the Lord and are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are the only two-dimensional people on the face of this earth. We live in two dimensions. You see, this morning I'm here in a room talking to people, but I'm in another place. Because Paul says, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's where I am. That is my position in the Spirit. I am there. And to be honest, so often, the church is not sat there because it looks upwards. The church needs to begin to look downwards on earth with the eyes of God, because that's where we sit. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we have a great panoramic view of what is going on here on earth that causes us to do something about it. That's one of the purposes. But that's where we are. That's where we're seated. We have the privilege of sat next to the ruler of this universe and to share in his plans and his purposes for his earth today. That's our privilege. And sometimes I don't think we know the power that we carry. I have a friend that some of you know. He's a good friend. um, guy called Mark Warner. And Mark now lives down south. He is one of the senior managers in one of the most troubled schools that you'll ever find in this nation. He's looking after 6 to 13-year-olds, and they're the next killers in society. It costs £60,000 a year to send your offspring there. Some of them are paid for by councils. Two children who are twins, Surrey Council pay out £350,000 a year for the privilege of having these children at Mark's school. That's how costly it is. They need constant guidance, constant attention, 24-hour watching 7 days a week. And he had to take one of these young twins, who's absolutely awful. I mean, he bit Mark's ear and caused it to bleed badly. But during the year, last year, I mean, they had legs broken, ribs broken, heads bashed, you name it. They really need body armor. So it's that sort of environment. Any rate, he was really being naughty. So Mark thought, right, I can't control this young lad. He's got to go to the head, and we'll deal with him together. Takes him to the head, sits outside the head's room, waiting for the head to call him in. And he hears him, this little lad, cursing Mark demonically. And Mark thought, oh, I know that, what he's doing. And he really was going for it, this little lad. And Mark turns to him and says, I can do that. Mark begins to speak in tongues. And just after a little while, the boy turns to him and says, that's the voice of Jesus. And what was the expression that he said after that? Oh, Mark said, how do you know that? And he said, because I know the voice of Jesus. You see, demons know the voice of Jesus. You know, the guy that had 3,000 demons, or however many it was, I don't know what a legion is, could not be stopped at falling down at the feet of Jesus and worshipping him and saying, I know who you are. All the demons did. That is the power that we carry. And I've got numbers of illustrations of that, but that's just one recent one where the enemy recognized the power of God in Mark, in a spirit-filled believer. You know, I think the devil sometimes knows more about you and me than we do. In terms of the power that we carry, I think he really does. And he's more scared than you think, which he is. Because we carry something that he recognizes. We carry the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we carry the authority of God over our lives. Okay. I'm kind of jumping forward. What were you put on this planet for? It's a good question to ask. You see, I believe that all over the world, billions of people for years have prayed a prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. It's the prayer that is the most common prayer across the face of this globe. But there's a little word in that. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe the primary purpose of the church is to bring heaven to earth. If we could only get hold of the fact that we're here to release the wonder of heaven into earth. You see, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. There's no wars in heaven. And we can go on. I won't get down to the rest. Because there are three others I wanted to share. But this is the primary purpose of the church, I believe, is to see heaven established on earth through the church, through us. God doesn't have another answer. You know, if you think he has, he hasn't. We're his last and final answer, the church. And what I want to say is, if we don't get the job done, God can wait until he finds a people who will get the job done. I'm looking. Jesus isn't coming back yet. I'm looking to be able to start something that our Megan's children will be able to carry forward in the kingdom of God. Because I can see the fullness of the restoration of what he wants to do. But I don't believe it'll happen in my lifetime. I probably have another, I don't know how many years on this planet. But I don't believe it will. But it will happen. God will see the establishing of his kingdom, because it says that heaven will retain him until it happens. Acts 3:20, I think it is, if you want to look it up. But this is the purpose. And this is all the business really now that I'm about, is to see heaven established on earth through God's people. It's taking hold of the atmosphere of heaven and bringing it to earth. It's taking hold of the presence of heaven and bringing it to earth. It's taking hold of all that heaven contains and bringing it to earth. If you walk through a bank of flowers in heaven, they wouldn't even be squashed. They'd just spring straight back up. That is heaven. But we need to take hold of much of heaven and release it into the earth. You know, we are woefully short, and I'm woefully short, way, way short, of seeing the miracles that God wants to pour out. Now, that's not God's problem. It's not the other person's problem. It is my problem and my issue. Because somehow my connection with God is not yet in such a place that I could go up to John, who isn't sick, praise God, even if he was dead, I could lay hands on him and he would rise up completely healed. That is what we're looking for, friends. That is what we want to see. That is the power of heaven coming to earth. That's the environment of heaven on earth. Do you know, I believe in the next move of God, I'm going to really step out on a limb. I believe in the next move of God, poverty in this nation will be eradicated. I'll take a stand on it, because there's no poverty in heaven. And I believe that that is going to be one of the hallmarks of the next phase of this move of God, that poverty will be broken in the name of Jesus, and everybody in this nation will live well. I look forward to the NHS becoming redundant. I mean, it's crazy. You know, hundreds of thousands of people every day attending A&E. It's ridiculous. You know, where is the church? Where's the power of the church to release so much healing that the NHS can take, the A&E can take a holiday, take a break? We're not there yet, but we're on a journey there. And I'll just mention the two other things that I wanted to bring. Jez, if you can just throw it up. I'm not going to look at them, because they're too, they're words in themselves, and so is the heaven coming to earth. It's a journey into the love of the Father. When you know the Father's love, you're invincible. No one will conquer you. You are absolutely secure in life and relationship and every other thing. And it will be a journey of the Word and the Spirit. Well, I've done it, John. I have done it. Whoa. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Is that all right? Let's stand. John stood up. We'll stand in the presence of God. It's not a bad thing. It's a way of honoring Him. Yeah, Father, we thank You for all that You are. Thank You that on the one hand You are our loving Heavenly Father that cares for us, that blesses us, that puts His wonderful arms around us. On the other hand, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, You are the most powerful people in the whole of this universe. And I thank You today that You have released Your power and authority to Your people to do, as You have said, Lord, greater things than I've done. That's another sermon in itself. But greater things, Lord. Lord, in many ways we'd be happy we're doing the things that You did. But You have promised greater things. So as we begin this year, we know that You are a continuum. No beginning, no end. But for us, Lord, we live in a time-space world, and You understand that. So as we enter this new year, Father, we enter a new season with You. We enter a season, O God, that we proclaim of the extraordinariness of God to come into the ordinariness of our lives. We claim that the God who has no limits will be our God, and that we will live in the limitlessness of the God who has no limits. We speak faith into this body this morning, that we will rise up as the people of God and take our place to see Your kingdom come and Your will being done in this region in the name of Jesus, that will bring You glory, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, we ask that You will release in us the river of God that will flow mightily from this place to touch a generation that is so needy and so lost without You. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I just